This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us on the radio waves. We've got crazy to tell you about here tonight with a man shooting to death. Not to death. The cops are still alive. He tried to shoot to death. Police in Manchester, New Hampshire, early in the overnight hours, early this morning. Some of the liberty activists in the Rimmen Heights area of Manchester were awakened by gunfire. And the police then apparently locked down a neighborhood or several streets as they were looking for the suspect, who they apparently found at around 6:50, I think it was, in the morning. But then they continued for several hours after that to have their little shelter-in-place thing. Now, this is a terminology that has sort of come out, at least into my consciousness or awareness, since the whole Boston bombing shut down.
Yeah, that's where I heard it too, but it's, curfew's a bad term, or lockdown.
Didn't they say shelter in place during Katrina?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I think that's
the first time I ever heard it.
All right, I'll take your word for it. So it's relatively new to me. It sort of has this Orwellian feel to it, shelter in place. I don't know why, but it just feels so controlling. And of course, that's exactly what it is. The idea, at least, seems to be that when they call for this shelter in place, that you're not supposed to go outside of your house. But I find myself wondering about shelter in place. What is the legality around this? I understand that the police get out there and they say, "All right, everybody, shelter in place.
Right, we're going to go say around whatever they want."
Right, and we're going to be going checking house to house. We'll be searching your cars. And then at some arbitrary time, they will lift the shelter in place, and then people can flit about and, go to work or do whatever it is. And I guess there was supposedly exemptions being made for people going to work. But what if my work is to report on the police?
Well, you can do that behind this line 3 miles away, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I found out.
You've encountered that. They actually arrested you for trying to report on the police here in Keene, New Hampshire, at the scene of a suicidal man. In this case, we had an actual homicidal man, someone who was trying to shoot other people, who did apparently successfully shoot two police officers. The claim is that both officers are doing fine, even though one was shot in the neck. So it would seem relatively hard to be doing fine after being shot in the neck. But
well, you have a preconception as to what shot in the neck
could have just
means.
Grazed him, right. I suppose. And so shelter in place.
You can believe if I had all those benefits that the coppers have and I got grazed in the neck, we're going to the hospital.
Yeah. What does it mean, though, to shelter in place? Is it a purely voluntary thing?
It's probably not. Like, I was thinking when they locked the college down and they were telling people, like, you can't go outside in the college. And then, like, a few of us were eating breakfast and we were like, okay, well, we appreciate the warning, but we're going to leave because we don't want to be here.
And we did leave.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even tell us why they had locked down the college. Like, I always...
But yeah, they're not used to giving explanations to people between the ages of 18 and 22, right? Like, those people aren't going to ask any questions. They've been told... They've been government schools for the last 12 years. Of course, if somebody who's a little older says you're going to do something, they do it. But wasn't I there for that one? Didn't I walk out with you guys?
I don't recall that.
I feel like I was at this particular one. I could be wrong. But I mean, yeah.
I don't recall that.
Moseyed right out.
Yeah, I remember, like, I don't know.
We talked about it on the air that night, so maybe it was such a good retelling that you felt like you were there.
It's not like I've never been there.
Yeah, and like, the thing, I always wondered, like, there's an incident here in Keene, too, where there's, like, a swatting downtown, and the police, like, they won't tell anyone the reason, but they're in body armor and, running around with assault rifles.
Well, yeah, that one was interesting because in that case, and if you want to see more about that, just search Free Keene for swatting. And the video will come up of what that scene was like. Because in that case, they weren't telling anyone to stay out. So they had heard that there was some guy with hostages in one of the downtown buildings in Central Square, right in the heart of downtown Keene, literally where everything happens as far as, activism, right next to Central Square.
And in my case, they wouldn't tell me what was going on. Like, I had speculations on, like, what I thought was going on. But, like, to me... Like, if you're going to argue, I guess, that the government is here for our safety, like, shouldn't they have to say, like, sir, there is a bomb here, not, you need to leave, and just because I say so, like, Okay.
Yeah, just give a little bit of information. I mean, in the
I probably would have left if I thought like it was truly dangerous.
Right. Or at least
I give an order and you're going to obey it.
Or at least be I'd be more cautious, right? I mean, because if the claim was that there was some madman with hostages up on the second or third floor of one of the apartment buildings in downtown Keene, then that would make sense why the police were hiding behind buildings, like concrete corners of buildings, pointing machine guns up at the this particular building. Like, that's what they were doing. And then I'm standing there asking them, hey, you know, what's going on here? Why are you guys hiding like that? Yeah, why aren't you telling us?
I hate to criticize, like, the police tactics, but...
Why not?
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, like, because they're going to say, like, oh, like, you know, you're not trained in police work and blah, blah. But I was thinking, like, what would happen if they're pointing guns at a building and, like, a loud noise is heard, or maybe one of them pulls the trigger on accident. Like,
That'd be bad.
Is downtown Keene going to erupt into a war zone? Because that's what happened in Watertown.
Wait, there was a war zone in Watertown?
Well, the suspect, this is the Boston bombing, the guy was hiding in like a boat, and they claimed that a shot was fired. Now, when they reviewed the evidence, the guy didn't fire a shot. The police fired a shot. And then they basically fired, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands of rounds into the boat.
But they didn't hit him.
Yeah, they didn't hit him, which was a crazy thing. But they, you know, they shot up all kinds of, like, innocent people's houses. And, like, it's really dangerous to go out and start shooting a gun.
Absolutely.
Randomly, basically.
Well, it's like the shot heard around the world. No one has any idea who fired the first shot in the American Revolution. But once that first shot goes off, everybody else starts shooting. Turns out there's a 4-year war after that, and something happens, never happened in the world since.
I guess, as a layman, I would say the police probably need to keep their weapons holstered until they're ready to use them. Like, unless they have an active threat that they're going to draw down on. Like today I saw, like, I wasn't there, but you know, seeing pictures of the police with assault rifles, like pointing them in people's cars and stuff, is not a good thing. I think
that's scary. That's the picture that that I got earlier from Carly Garrick's post. She made a post on her Facebook page about the experience of being locked down this morning, supposedly, in Manchester. She writes, "This morning, my Manchester neighborhood was locked down with a shelter-in-place warning as armed law enforcement officers roamed the streets, purportedly in search for a white man with long hair and a trench coat who shot two officers around 2 a.m., both officers are in non-critical condition. One was shot in the calf. Haven't seen any reports about the other wound yet." She says she wishes them a speedy recovery. "Helicopters whirred overhead for hours. Cars were searched. Schools were closed. Blocks were closed down. There were reports that houses were being searched. I contacted my attorney to understand my Fourth Amendment right should I be approached to have my house searched. I put my dog in her crate downstairs as a precautionary measure to ensure she didn't get shot if I refused unconstitutional entry to my home." Scary stuff.
There was a circumstance where they shot a dog in a crate.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen, obviously, but I'm just saying.
So, and I really appreciate where Carl is coming from with this, in that this is what I wanted to see happen in Watertown after the Boston bombing, when the police were going around as militaristically as possible, wearing camouflage, driving Bearcats, holding machine guns, pointing guns at people's homes, and then going into the homes at gunpoint to search, ostensibly, for these, you know, suspected bombers. And we never heard of a single person refusing to consent to the search. We never saw a video of anyone refusing to consent to a search. And I would hope that if there were house-to-house searches going on in Manchester this morning, and again, that was just a rumor. When I mentioned it on a forum earlier on Facebook, someone said that they specifically searched one house, but that they had not been going house to house. But either way, it would have been nice, and if this ever happens again, hopefully it won't, but it certainly seems like it might, because they seem to jump to the shelter-in-place thing as quickly as they possibly can. Hopefully someone will stand up for their rights and say, no, you don't have the right to search this home. Now, of course, you could say, well, the police have exigent circumstances. They can use that excuse.
That's what they said in Watertown.
Yep. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us here. But do exigent circumstances require pointing guns at innocent motorists as you look through their car? It's Free Talk Live.
Thank you.
is Free Talk Live. You may join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You know, Bernie Sanders has come to represent the new socialist movement in America, and it gives us an incredible opportunity to address his supporters in a rational, courteous, and dignified way. Fortunately for us right now, we have Roger Ver on the side of freedom, and he's laid out an incredible challenge. Adam Kokesh has agreed to meet Bernie Sanders in any city in America on any day between now and the end of this year for a friendly debate on socialism versus voluntarism, in which Bernie can choose the objective moderator. To sweeten the deal, Roger Ver, a.k.a. Bitcoin Jesus, has offered that upon completion of a three-hour debate in which both men have equal time, he will donate a total of $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to the charity of each man's choice. That's $50,000 apiece. Learn more about it at bernie.freetalklive.com. Very exciting debate challenge there. bernie.freetalklive.com.
Share that on your social media. That way, Bernie Sanders can't duck it. Because he's already seen it, I'm sure, but he needs to see it about a million times.
So we're talking about the situation that we didn't actually have personal experience with this morning, because we're out in Keene, New Hampshire, but out in Manchester, there were shots fired early this morning, apparently at two police officers by a man in a trench coat, a man in his early 30s, who has now been identified as Ian McPherson as the suspect. Is that name correct, James?
Yes.
Now, you did some digging, James, about Ian McPherson. In fact, you're writing up a piece for freekeen.com about it sort of during the breaks of Free Talk Live here tonight. And we're going to talk more about him. He has a 600-plus, close to 700-page, I don't know if you want to call this a manifesto. I mean, manifesto.
It's hard to find words to describe it.
Yeah.
It's a thing called Enemy Combatants in USA Witness Statement. Right. So maybe we could call it a witness statement.
And to summarize, which we can't really possibly do because you'd have to read all 600 pages in order to give an accurate summary of what it says, I did jump to the very end. And at the very end, it does mention that he believes he has an implant in his brain, that at some point several years ago that he was cut open and some kind of GPS tracking chip or brain control device or something like that was implanted there, and it's just a rambling jumble of 600 pages of nonsense. So we'll give you
some
of that.
Are you claiming you do not have a transmitter in your body?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, I see.
He claims
one of those people.
That in New Hampshire, he was illegally implanted with a silk BGI and a long-range wireless radio frequency transmitter / receiver.
So maybe
he's important. Important enough that the government would snatch him up, cut him open, and put a transmitter in him.
Well, maybe they did, Mark, so they could use him to attack the police and give the police a reason to create a more of a police state.
If they did that, he'd have shot the police in the face and not the leg.
Let's go to the Rebel Love Studios on the line from Manchester via Skype. Actually, right down there in the heart of the Rimmen Heights neighborhood. You guys were right in the middle of this today, right?
Holy shit. Well, I got here a little late, but Cody's been here.
This is pretty much what I've woken up to, Police State USA. And from everything that I've gathered, guys, this is nothing more than a martial law exercise. I don't know if this guy, I mean, ooh, I didn't even know about the manifesto. That makes it even crazier. And the implant stuff, like, who knows if there's mind control going on? I don't even want to go down that road. But at the very least, the government has taken advantage of this opportunity to bring out the AR-15s and the Bearcats and everything else. I don't see it as a coincidence that in Laconia, there was a completely separate incident where they brought out two Bearcats, another armored car. And they don't even say he necessarily shot at the cops. They brought out two Bearcats and a Humvee.
Wait. What happened in Laconia? Because all I know was earlier there was some sort of lockdown also. So Laconia is a different area of New Hampshire, and just so people know.
Another whole area, and they had the same thing, the shelter-in-place order that was later lifted after the man was under arrest. The weird thing about Manchester, however, was that they reportedly arrested this guy at 6:55 in the morning.
Not even. So as you know, Ian, I was up very late last night till about 6 a.m. listening to the Manchester police scanner. And they actually arrested this guy, I want to say around 5, 5:30. They caught him pretty early. So the fact that they were still going around, you know, showing off with their big toys and helicopters and Bearcats and whatnot, just ridiculous. There were rumors of home searches going on.
I don't know if those would have been confirmed in any way, but even the mainstream media did say that they were shaking people down at checkpoints, that they had set up multiple checkpoints in the neighborhood in which you guys have a studio. And that they were stopping cars. You can see, if you go to freekeen.com, the picture that Carla posted was of men with machine gun-looking guns pointing them into the cab of a truck they were just sort of looking around. And
what I don't understand...
Why is that even necessary? I mean, look,
The mayor said that the city was safe, and yet they've still got a police presence. So which one is it?
How do they make a shelter in place even work? If I woke up, if I had to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's certainly happened in my life, I would likely be getting up at 6:15, you know, getting into the shower, get out and get going. Hopefully I've had a chance to comb my hair. I haven't listened to the news. I wouldn't know that there's a shelter in place.
You just get stopped at a checkpoint.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Get a gun pointed in your face early in the morning.
Right now, there is actually still a police presence. Renee and I took a walk down at the end of Dubuque Street literally probably an hour ago. So they had an area that was taped off. There was police tape. Before you got there, there was a bunch of news media. You had Boston media, NH1, a whole bunch of people. So we decided to walk past that and see what was going on.
There were two police lines. The first line of police tape did not include the sidewalk. So I assumed that the sidewalk was open and that, you know, the media was just too cowardly to head down there, because I did also see some other pedestrians walking that way as well. So we decided to take a walk down there. And as we approached the second police line, you know, we're checking out the crime scene. I'm kind of piecing together what I heard on the scanner last night. And three cops approach us. They appeared to be doing some sort of forensics on the area. Not exactly sure, but they start telling us to get lost, basically.
They told us that the area wasn't safe.
Yeah, so I said...
even though the mayor had just said hours ago that the area was...
And that's what I said. And they were like, well, it doesn't matter. You guys need to leave. They said, it's not safe yet. It's not safe yet.
So we had three cops in front of us walking towards us, two
behind
us.
And I turned around, and once the cops started yelling, at first they kind of, you know, just said, hey, what are you doing? And then, you know, sort of asked us, and then they started getting meaner and meaner, they all started walking towards us.
This should sound familiar, James. Didn't they tell you the same thing before they arrested you, that, you know, you weren't in a safe place? Basically, that you had come too close to the scene of a suicidal man, and they were only looking out for your best interests when they told you to get away from that scene a couple years ago here in Keene, New Hampshire. Then you were arrested because you didn't leave fast enough.
That's right. And one of the questions the jury had was, do the police have to tell you, like, why you're in danger? Do they have to, like, give you multiple warnings? And, like, none of that was resolved.
And what about your ability to decide for yourself, thank you for the warning, officer, I'll just go ahead and continue taking the risk of being here.
I tried that, and it did not work very
because
well.
Because I want to get this story. Now, you guys, if you want to stand by and continue to give us the scene on the ground there in Manchester, we'll continue here on Free Talk Live at 855-450-FREE.
Are you searching for your soulmate? Someone you can trust, who will never betray you or cooperate with the NSA? Stop searching. With EasyDNS, you found a keeper. EasyDNS does it all. Domain names, web hosting, and managed WordPress hosting. EasyDNS stands up for your internet freedom, and with servers in Canada, they do not cooperate with the NSA. Go to EasyDNS.com. You'll love their services or get a full refund. They guarantee it. And they accept Bitcoin. That's EasyDNS.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The man who is accused of shooting police officers in Manchester, New Hampshire, has 700-plus page. There's multiple, manifestos, rambling screeds, whatever you want to call them, on his Scribd account. And he's been writing these at least for a couple years between 2013 and 2014. We can give you crazy excerpts from them here because there's just so much content. It's, of course, impossible to take it all in. At one point here, he references one of the overnight kind of crazy kook radio hosts named Jeff Rentz. Longtime radio listeners may be familiar with this guy. He's sort of like an even crazier, kooky version of Art Bell. Now, Art Bell doesn't actually believe the things that are called about on his show.
Not necessarily.
But maybe Rentz does. I don't know. He's just a little bit more obscure. Anyway, this guy believes that Jeff Rentz may have been replaced by an imposter. And that's just a quick excerpt here. We'll give you some more from his crazy rambling screed. And we'll also get back here to the Rebel Love Show, where they are calling us from the very neighborhood where the shootings occurred early this morning in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're going to continue with that. Also want to let you know about Freedom's Phoenix. You know, Freedom's Phoenix does a great job of keeping you up to date on all kinds of freedom-related issues over at freedomsphoenix.com. They keep you give you the detailed real news that lies between the lines of propaganda and the relationship we have with coercive governments. They have up-to-the-minute updates on the economy, technology, communications, and the rise of the police state, which is happening now. freedomsphoenix.com. You can go there and get their updates. As we go back to Renee and Cody are on the line. We didn't even really introduce them in the last segment. They just called in from the Rebel Love Show studios in downtown Manchester. Actually, it's the Ribbon Heights neighborhood. And they are now feeding my audio back to me, which is never a good thing. At least I think it's them. Yeah, it's them. So they're down there in the Ribbon Heights neighborhood. That's where all of this went down this morning, where apparently the police are still positioned.
What's the name of the neighborhood? Rimmon?
Rimmon, R-I-M-M-O-N.
Okay. What's a Rimmon?
It sounds like a dirty thing that you really can't talk about on the radio, Mark, yeah, but I don't think we should go into that. Cody and Renee, are you with us?
Yes.
Yep.
And right. I did just review the Facebook drama that was going on. There were a few of us who were listening live to the scanner, and it does say that 14 hours ago, which would have been about 5:30, the original post of "they just got the guy" was posted. And about 13 hours ago.
5:30 this morning. Okay.
Right. About 13 hours ago, I posted, "they are waiting to get the green light to clear out from command." And I'm wondering who command is, because, you know, once I finally woke up around noon, I'd gotten some messages from Rob Thias.
Thank you for your service.
Right. They were still circling around with the helicopters. So after I tuned out, you know, something changed from, "all right, guys, we're going to clear out," to, "we're still going to circle around with a helicopter." I don't know if they were looking for a second suspect or what, but I mean, I heard all this action go down.
I don't think there's been any allegations about a second suspect.
Well, that's what I had heard. I heard that was their excuse for continuing the manhunt, was that they
heard helicopters until about 11:30 noontime.
Well, they apparently had set up checkpoints and were literally pointing guns at people as they were at these checkpoints as they looked through their cabs. I mean, the picture that you see at freekeen.com shows what appear to be either Manchester or state police pointing machine guns into the cab of a truck, which is a clearly empty cab of a truck. I mean, there was a guy obviously sitting on the driver's side, presumably, but the portion of the cab that you can see, there's no one sitting there. And it's one of those short cabs where there's just the window right behind the front seats. There's no back area for somebody to be hiding in. Why are the cops pointing a gun inside this man's cab? Why is that even necessary?
Well, here's my question. Do any of you think that it's coincidental that this is happening just a little more than a day after that police beatdown that happened in Nashua?
Oh, here we go.
Is there some kind of connection? Is this a show of force?
Well, I think that's what the police would possibly be speculating. I mean, we did hear that they locked down a school and a portion of another area of New Hampshire today. That it was was it the Lakes region or Lebanon?
Laconia.
They locked down Laconia, and they used the same shelter-in-place thing later in the same day. And you could argue that, well, the police are on edge.
You know, that something has happened, and so therefore they're more likely to jump to this shelter in place. Once one of their own has been shot, they're going to, like, they're going to see bad guys everywhere, or they're going to feel like they're being attacked for, you know, even though nothing, I don't know what happened in Laconia. I haven't even followed that story. I just saw the headline earlier. Apparently they've taken someone else into custody there. But I can tell you, unless all of these people have chips in their brain for real, they're probably not related, because I can't imagine this guy, based on his 700-page manifesto here, actually has any friends who would go into any kind of plot with him to take over or attack police in different areas of New Hampshire. He just doesn't seem like a real leadership kind of guy.
Especially with how ridiculous this guy was. I mean, there were multiple rounds of gunfire exchanged. They would see him just walking up and down the street, just chilling in his black trench coat, and you know, an officer would approach and then get shot at. And then the last time they caught him, he was just walking down the street. He had some story about how he got robbed. And, you know, sure enough, he fit the description. They sent a message to the original couple officers who witnessed the first or second round of gunfire. And, you know, they had their guy. But he was just walking around, just chilling in the same outfit.
The dude's a maniac. I mean,
he's nuts.
I want to know how the media is going to portray and spin this. I mean, clearly, if he has a manifesto, this is going to come out mainstream at some point, right?
So nobody's going to read it.
It's impossible.
Does he have like three of these manifestos, all well over, you know, several hundred pages?
He has a Scribd account.
If he's the type of guy who's listening to conspiracy radio, how is it going to be that they somehow connected this to the Free Staters and the Liberty Movement?
Well, he's not connected. I mean, if you look at his Facebook page, there's no...
they can connect him to the Free Staters all they want. Ian's not one.
They don't care about the facts.
Well,
they're just going to see a crazy guy who's into crazy stuff, and they're going to say, well, it happened in this area of Manchester where there's a lot of Free Staters.
Not to change the subject here, but I do want to thank James real quickly for kind of, you know, showing me what's going to happen when you cross a police line in an active crime scene. Because, you know, once I turned around and saw that those... So there were three cops that we approached doing the forensics, and that was at the second police line. I turned around, and once I saw that the two other officers were approaching from the back, that's when we bailed because, you know, you learn the hard way, right, James?
Well, you got to make a decision, and, like, the decision, I think, is the footage important enough to be arrested for? Because every time you pull a camera and you start filming the police, you're taking that risk. So it's like if
I
saw...
We got what we needed to. So, I mean, you know, it was time to get out of there. There was no real action going on.
And that should be worth mentioning, by the way. We do have YouTube footage that will be posted at some point.
Yeah, once I figure out how to get the footage off my phone. I'm kind of computer illiterate.
Which I am shocked that no other Manchester activists have any video that I'm aware of.
There is video. There is video. Riaz is a cop blocker on the ground there in Manchester. He was out on the streets last night. Got quite a bit of raw kind of, you know, broadcast footage from Bambuser on his cell phone. So,
right, but one out of how many? This is literally the Porcupine Village up here.
Yeah.
They're libertarians. They didn't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Some of them should have still been awake.
One of them was.
So leave it to the keen activists to come out here and start causing trouble. The second I get out, it didn't take me 5 minutes.
See, Renee, you're ruining it for everybody. That's the thing.
I know. I'm a shock jock.
Yeah. Renee, you brought the keen with you, basically.
I know. I went full keen.
You can take the activist out of keen, but you can never take the keen out of the activist.
It's true. So we'll be talking about this more on our show on Anarchy After Dark, 10 p.m. You can catch us live on LRN.fm.
All right. That sounds good, guys. And yeah, thanks. And by the way, I sent that manifesto link to you on the RLS Studio group. So check that out when you get the chance. Okay. I'm sure there's some real juicy excerpts in there that we have yet to unearth. Thanks for the call here tonight from the Rebel Love Show Studios, Anarchy After Dark on LRN.fm tonight at 10. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here toll-free, 855-450-FREE. We're talking about an apparently very crazy man. Either that, or they really did implant a chip into his brain, and they made him shoot the police. He is Ian McPherson, and that is the man who is alleged to have shot two Manchester, New Hampshire police officers early this morning at around 2 a.m., The manhunt continued for a few hours until they finally arrested him, apparently without much incident. I don't think there was any kind of gunfight during the arrest.
I think it's interesting. I would have expected over in Manchester, and what you usually see in circumstances where police are shot is that they basically kill the guy.
Usually you do see that. So I guess they used a lot of restraint in this particular case.
And Manch police, from what I can tell, are not known for that.
Using restraint?
Yeah.
So there's a Scribd account. Scribd is a website that allows you to, I guess, store documents and share them with people. They require you have a membership of some sort in order to download the things that you look at, but you can look at them for no cost. And James, you found a link to these, or multiple links to these, on Ian McPherson's Facebook page, which for right now is still online, and I suspect Facebook will likely take his account offline. So to anyone who's investigating this guy, you may want to go ahead and save a copy of his Facebook page just in case it is taken down, and as well as some of these manifestos, if that's what you want to call these hundreds of pages long rambling screeds, all named basically the same thing. And I don't know if they're just different versions of the same document. It does kind of look like that might be the case here.
You know, this kind of reminds me of a while back. There's a guy, I think he tried to run into the White House to warn Obama of the aliens.
Something.
Yeah, oh, wow.
And he had a really...
It doesn't matter what he has
really to... A really trippy manifesto.
What he has to warn him about. Like, the first part of the sentence made it pretty clear he was crazy. He ran into the White House to warn Obama about... Like, whatever it is, Obama probably already knows, right? Like, he's already got it handled.
Well, these aliens supposedly were humiliating the guy and...
Wait a minute, aliens...
Yeah, well,
you're talking about the guy in the Obama.
Yeah, the Obama one.
At this point, we don't know that aliens might be the ones putting the transmitters in this dude.
I'm going to search for aliens here because it's really the only way to get anything out of this manifesto. It's 700 pages.
Right, it's 700 pages.
I couldn't even imagine, like,
then search Grays.
It's hard enough to write like 10 pages. I mean,
search Nephilim.
Apparently, there's only one result for the word aliens in the document. It comes in about page 702. Oh, no, excuse me. There's more than one. Why is it only showing me one result? I take it back. So he mentions, just on the same page, there's two mentions, reptile aliens as well as men from the stars, which he calls space aliens. Now, this is in a section called Metaphoric Ciphers of Italian Axis Cells, whatever that means.
Yeah, he
what?
He
can you run it by me again?
You mean there's also something in here about Nazi UFOs.
Nazi UFOs.
As well, so maybe I should search for UFOs.
He's a Captain America fan, I can tell you that.
What, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, I think we're getting down to the bottom of the truth here. I mean, if we read this manifesto, we'll obviously find the
You'll
truth.
Be enlightened. I don't know. You know, I do love giving crazy excerpts from these manifestos. And I guess the best way to do it is to just jump right in from the beginning, and I'll give you some idea of what this guy is trying to say, which is almost completely indecipherable. But you know, just to put it out there, he gives his social security number, by the way, right at the very beginning of this document. He is saying this was titled on December 18th of 2013. If you are not going to read this, please pass this on. This is all in caps. This is an extreme emergency. If you are multilingual or know somebody who is, please translate this and mail this to police, military, Federal Communications Commission, and investigations departments of nations friendly to USA, Canada, and Mexico. Now he's back in regular non-caps. As well as the World Health Organization, USA Department of Defense employees, USA police departments, and USA federal investigations departments. For the safety of the community, please copy this witness statement and send a copy to a member of your community. So that is what he's calling this, is a witness statement. Enemy combatants in the USA, he says. Witness statement, now back into all caps. Witness statement concerning enemy combatants in USA and Canada, bird dog espionage, sex trafficking of children, and pornographing of children, possible plans to detonate nuclear weapons in the United States of America, violations of the Geneva Convention on North American soil, violations of Federal Communications Commission laws, war crime sex trafficking of children, terrorism, sleeper agents embedded within law enforcement and investigations.
So just a bunch of really crazy claims.
Apparently, this man has been a witness to a lot of things.
He's seen some stuff, man. He's seen some stuff.
Sleeper agents embedded within the Department of Defense.
Now he's seeing the inside of a cell, and the cops don't want to hear anything about it.
An international covert genocidal faction, theft of DARPA-funded research, plans to exterminate the Abenaki
race.
How
the heck does he know that DARPA... Hold on a second. This moron thinks that A, he knows about DARPA's stolen DARPA information, and B, he's got the inside scoop on the Abenaki Indian wipeout? I mean, you are really... you're traveling in some circles if you have both of those pieces of information.
Plans to exterminate the founding race of the USA, psych warfare agents on USA soil, cyber stalking, cyber terrorism, human vivisection, abduction of minors, cruel and unusual torture of civilians, war crimes, identity theft, military-grade firearms trafficking, improvised weapons used for terrorism, sex trafficking, war rape, viral warfare, hasn't he mentioned sex trafficking like three times?
He's all about that sex trafficking.
Serial killings, crimes against humanity committed upon minors and adults, sex offenses committed upon minors and adults, a genocidal terrorist threat to the British monarchy, a conspiracy to frame the Saudi Arabian royal family for war crimes which they did not commit, Italian connections to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda on American soil, possible preemptive actions and expectations.
Italian connections to the Taliban on American soil. All right.
Possible preemptive actions and expectation of a third world war. Italian Axis faction currently planning to overthrow, we're on page 2 now, USA government entirely. Axis sleeper cell activation doomsday genocidal assault on North America.
Wow. This isn't going to get any saner, dude.
And RICO, organized crime violations in the USA and Canada. And then he goes out of all caps and into section number 1.
How's his grammar?
Well, that hasn't really been much of a sentence, I guess, so far.
No, I meant after that. You said he's gone out of all caps. The title's over. That was the title. Some long, rambling, one-page title. But, I mean, if you're going to
have... Yeah, you're right. That was the title.
If you're going to have a 700-page manifesto, you might as well have a one-page title.
Title.
It's not like anybody's going to read the thing anyway.
Section 1. This witness statement and testimonial regards enemy combatants on American and Canadian soil. These enemy combatants are using duplicated identification credentials. Now, he is using all capital letters in the first letter of these words. So now back to...
Every word is capitalized?
Just a sum of the words, not all of them. Sometimes okay. He's just doing normal
Sort of Jeffersonian capitalization? Just throw it in there whenever he feels like it?
It looks like that. Yeah. Duplicated identification credentials, that's capitalized. Obtained from Department of Motor Vehicles as well as hospitals and from dead genocide victims whom they have killed, hiding their identities by assuming the identities of Americans. Currently, there is a covert genocide occurring in the northeast of the U.S. The faction, which is where he lives. The faction.
I hate the idea that somebody's just tuned into this show and they hear you reading this rambling screed and they think it has something to do with Free Talk Live. This is the manifesto of some nut job that is now sitting in a jail cell in Manchester, New Hampshire, that shot two cops today. And at this point, I have no sympathy for him. I'm sorry, but crazy people really upset me, and when I just hear this stuff,
they
just
are entertaining to me.
You're entertained. I'm not. I'm annoyed.
You can feel sorry that he's obviously having mental
it's terrible
issues, right?
And he's been having them for years, apparently.
Like long enough to put together a 700-page manifesto, one of three.
Like when you 15. Say you have no sympathy for him, I think you're like you still probably think he should obviously be punished for what he did, but
I just enter into an once somebody shows themselves to be this crazy, I enter into an area of I just don't care. I just don't. I don't know what to do with them because I don't feel like I'm at that. I'm not protecting human sanity by protecting them at this point. So I don't know. I guess. I'm just not sympathetic.
We wondered what he meant when you had read earlier, James, that he had a BCI device implanted in him. Mm-hmm. He believes that this device is in his head. Apparently, BCI stands for Brain Computer Interface. On page 13 of his manifesto here, it says, during the year 1999, an article was printed in a science magazine about a rat that was neurosurgically grafted with a brain-computer interface. The brain-computer interface was used in conjunction with neuroscience software and was used to pilot the rat to move like a remote control robot. This sounds like a pretty cool experiment. I wonder if he's actually talking about something that really happened. I know I had seen something in a documentary somewhere about some sort of attachment that they gave a rat, and they allowed this rat to like play a video game with its brain waves.
Huh.
So, I mean, there's definitely some weird stuff and some pretty neat scientific advancements going on out there.
What kind of video games do rats prefer?
It was like a jet fighter game or something that it had to control.
What did the rat think about that?
I don't know. I don't know if it just kept crashing the jet or what. It was just
could it pull a Jaeger?
Toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you've got a favorite part of the manifesto, we'll put it up on our Facebook page, and you can share that with us. It's Free Talk Live.
Fed up with the political establishment? Then Trump the government with a Trump dollar that expresses your distrust of politicians and the corrupt U.S. political process. The Trump dollar, the symbol of America's resistance to the same old warlike government and a model for a new peaceful monetary standard to make America great again. Vote with your pocketbook for only $5 to change the money, change the country. Get your Trump dollar today at TrumpDollar.us. That's TrumpDollar.us.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us on the radio waves here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight as we launch into hour number two, you've got Ian,
James,
and Mark.
And we've been talking about the police state on the rise in Manchester, New Hampshire today as police set up checkpoints and pointed guns pointed what appear to be machine guns at peaceful people who were just trying to go to work on these vehicular checkpoints after they had collected the suspect that they believed who had shot, they believed had shot early this morning two police officers in the streets of Rimmen Heights. That's West Manchester. A number of liberty activists live in that area, and some were apparently awakened by gunfire at about 2 in the morning.
Now, the others just slept right through it.
Now, could you imagine the police like doing this, like if one of your family members was murdered, like closing down the entire city and like, well half the city anyway? And
no, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, like
no, this activity is because police were shot.
Yeah, like this is basically, I feel like it's a very double standard where, you know, a police officer gets shot and that's very tragic and I think it's a terrible thing, but, you know, like, I don't think the correct solution is to inconvenience everyone.
Absolutely. And not just inconvenience, but threaten and take their rights. I mean, to have a gun pointed at you simply because you're driving somewhere is ridiculous. And, of course, the excuse is that they might have been searching for a second, you know, an accomplice, someone who might have been involved in the same shooting, was the theory as to why they continued this after hours after they had actually arrested the suspect. He has now been charged with, I think, two counts of capital murder, if I'm not mistaken. And let's go to your calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything that you want. The guy left a 700-plus page manifesto on his Facebook page, as well as you can, of course, roll down his Facebook page and go back for a few years and just sort of read his commentary to get an idea of where this guy is coming from.
Where is he coming from? You read it.
A place of crazy. Let's go to Rusty in Dallas. You can bring up anything you want here on Free Talk Live. Hello, Rusty.
Yeah, howdy, guys. I've been calling in about 2 nights ago in regards to the Texas Republican Convention and Texas Independence.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you said that the Republicans in Texas at their convention for the first time ever may actually be voting on secession.
Yes. Update for that. What happened was last night there was a vote to remove that plank from the party platform. It was 16 people said yes, remove it from the party platform because we had gotten it in. 15 said no, and there was an abstention. Okay. What then happened after that was 7 people signed on to a minority report. And if you file a minority report correctly, that means you can move to adopt the minority report and actually debate it on the House floor or the convention floor. That was not done properly. They used the rules that were agreed upon. They said, well, you have to give it 30 minutes after or before we adjourn, basically, for us to consider the minority report filed. So that brings us to today. Today, the convention met, and we had a general session, and we were voting on the platform. There was actually debate on Texas independence because there was a motion to amend a sovereignty plank in our platform saying that Texas has the right and should reassert its right as an independent nation if the federal government kind of oversteps the lines. That was the gist of it. There was 4 people talking in favor, 4 people talking against. It goes down to a vote. The vote is so close that the chair has to ask people to stand up to either say they were for it or against it. And many people think that the people for the motion to amend, where it would insert language or add language that said Texas has a right to secede, if the federal government ever steps down, they believe they want it. The chair didn't agree, but it was so close, just on voice, people yelling, yes, I'm in favor of it, or no, I'm not, that they had to have people stand up and then either if they're in favor or sit down if they're in favor. So that's a huge deal. It's never happened before.
So hold on. So just to clarify, there's a lot of parliamentary procedure going on here.
Well, basically, it was almost adopted. It came very, very close.
Oh, I thought you said it did get adopted. So
no, he's just claiming that it was so close that there's arguments about it. They didn't count the votes. They just somebody out there took a sort of eyeball count of how many people are standing in any given circumstance and said, I don't want to deal with this, so I'm giving it to the people that are making it easiest on me, which is to say the ones that don't want secession.
So then that's the official result is, at this point, the entire delegation voted, and the administrators or the executives of the Texas Republican Party determined, based on an eyeballing of the crowd, that the proposal for supporting secession did not succeed. So therefore, the Texas Republicans are not at this time officially supporting secession, but a significant amount of them did vote for it.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, here's one of my critiques. Don't think it's a bad thing what was going on here. I think, great, if you can handle all of this parliamentary BS, then good on you. It's just almost intolerable to me. But the wording of, well, we reserve the right, if the federal government is to do something really bad, that we can go ahead and secede. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we already to that point? And this is like this sort of wide open loophole that just allows them to never do anything about it, because there's no real test there. There's no litmus test.
This is tie downs, Ian. I mean, this is how it's done in sales. First, you get them to say yes to something sort of completely reasonable that people would say yes to. Mm-hmm. If I could get this car in a price range that you could afford, would you be interested in taking it home today? Yes. Excellent. Then we're on the same page. If the federal government did a bunch of horrifying things, would you be willing to support secession for Texas?
So you're saying this should be a part of a long-term plan where one year they get this version in.
This is an unqualified victory.
And then the next year they get another version in. I'm sorry, it just doesn't... No,
they didn't get this victory in.
Right.
They still have to get this victory in the next go-around.
Year.
Yeah, not next year, next term.
Well, is it how many, how many years?
Probably 2 years. Probably
two more years?
Yeah, 2 more years to the next convention, but that's not only the good thing. It's the first time it's ever been debated on the floor. There's cameras there, press is on it.
What were the objections? I mean, by the people who want to keep the status quo, who want to stay as a state to keep Texas, which is a humongous place and certainly could be its own country. It's got plenty of natural resources. What were the arguments to keep Texas a state?
Well, the main arguments were people misinterpreted or misread it and thought that it was actually calling for secession right then and there. And what it does, it calls for a referendum to kind of have like an unofficial straw poll, non-binding resolution, just to see where Texans are on the issue.
So y'all couldn't even get a resolution on the issue. See, that's why I say if people are going to jump to the conclusion that you're asking for secession, you might as well go all the way and ask for secession. I'm not trying to jump down your throat. I'm just making a general statement to secessionists out there. Go ahead and just call the question. Put the issue, the actual issue of secession, on the table, and then see what kind of votes you get.
Well, I think that you should do that after people are saying that secession is a viable option.
It is.
Well, who said that?
I said that.
Yeah. Well, you're the crazy guy on the radio in New Hampshire. You don't have anything to
do with
Republicans.
One out of five Americans are in favor of their state seceding,
apparently half of the Republicans that are willing to go to the convention in Texas are.
That's good
my
news.
Half Republicans beats the hell out of your one in five Americans. So let's get the Republicans
sure one out of five Americans
down on paper, saying that, yes, if the government is bad enough, that we would be willing to support secession.
That's the problem.
And then begin to ask them, exactly what does the government need to do?
That's a good question.
In order to be bad enough? Because whatever they say, I've got a news story for it.
That's true. They have done all of those things.
Whatever it is. We want drone killings of American citizens? I got you one.
Yep.
Wherever. I got it.
Checkpoints.
We'll do it.
House-to-house searches. police state. We got all that. Checkpoints and outside of the cities, inside of the cities.
As I understand, a violation of the Third Amendment, quartering soldiers in civilian buildings. I think I've got one of those, too.
That happened during Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, it happens. Whatever it is, whatever violation you might think it is, the federal government has done it already.
Rusty, thanks for your update, and keep us in the loop as time goes on here. You know, you gotta congratulate the Texas secessionists. They are the best organized secession movement out there. And there are apparently multiple secession movements within Texas. So not all the secessionists even agree on the terms of the secession. There's that many of them. In Texas. And of course, as the political season continues to go on, hopefully we'll hear more discussion from various different places in the United States and beyond about secession. You can share your thoughts with us on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Now, if you're designing a business card for yourself, you want to keep it simple. Don't put a manifesto on your business card. If you're ready to get some business cards, go to Vistaprint.com and you can grab.
It's hard not to have a manifesto, though, because at this point there's so many different ways that people like to communicate. They want your LinkedIn, they want your Skype, they want your your cell phone number.
Some people keep it simple.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. Yeah. Some people have office numbers still. There's all kinds of different ways to be in contact with people, and you want to provide people with this contact information.
At the same time, I'm kind of a cheapskate. I want to make sure that my card doesn't have to be updated every time some little bit of contact info changes. So the simpler I can keep my business cards, the better off I feel like I am.
When was the last time your Skype information changed?
I use lrn.fm now rather than my personal Skype.
Okay, so it changed
Skype.
Once. Yep.
I mean, I still have the personal Skype, but I'm never logged into it unless I'm going to be on like RT or something like that, and I need it for some reason.
I get emails from people where they have like their signature, and then it has all their contact information.
Yeah.
And it can be a tome. I have, I have little bits of information in there too, just sort of telling people that, hey, you know, I'm tracking this email through my sales software, but don't worry, it's nothing compared to what the NSA does. And then, you know, I've got different stuff written down there. It's just, I don't know. It's hard.
Anyway, you can make your business card however you want. I just like to keep mine simple.
I recommend simplicity, too.
Whatever kind of...
Draw their attention to the way you want to be contacted.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever you want to do with your business card, they can do it over at Vistaprint.com. Customize the text, colors, backsides, and more. They've got thousands of industry-specific templates. Or if you've already got your card laid out, you just want to upload the graphics and be done with it, you can do that too. That's what I did. I had made some cards for Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, the movie that I had the pleasure of producing. And I just uploaded the graphics, finished it up, submitted it, was done. It's a super easy to use tool. And you can also design postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, and invitations. So whatever you need for your home-based business, go to Vistaprint.com and get 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. You want to upgrade the quality? You can throw in a few extra bucks and get thicker stock, brilliant finish like metallic spot gloss or raised print. It's super easy to use, and Vistaprint guarantees that you'll love your products every time or they'll make it right. So here's how you get the deal of 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Use code FTL at checkout. That's code FTL, like Free Talk Live, when you're at checkout at Vistaprint.com. As we go to your phone calls and thoughts, Sarah is on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. Did you know that the blue states tend to have lower traffic fatalities, and that the red states happen to have higher traffic accidents due to they have less laws? Except, of course, New Mexico.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, where's your source for this?
Well, I don't know. That's what it was.
You don't know.
Okay, so hold on just a second. The blue states, New York. Is home to the biggest state in the biggest city in the union. You want to say they have fewer traffic fatalities than what's the biggest red state?
Presumably
Houston
per capita is what we're talking about here.
Okay,
right?
Per capita. All right, now we're at per capita.
Here's the thing. Except New Mexico, we're a blue state, but we're right up there with a red state. And you know something? The statistics.
Well, no, we've corrected you on this before, actually. New Mexico, if I'm recalling correctly, wasn't in the top traffic fatalities.
Well, how come the
So
news
when someone asks you where you're getting your claims from and you say, I don't know, that kind of invalidates what you were saying, doesn't it?
You know what? I do know where I get it from. I get it from the local news. Why would they put it on the radio news? You know, it's in the newspaper and the news, local news, you know, 71 pedestrians killed, number second in bicycle fatality, number one in motorcycle fatality.
What you had said earlier, though, was that your reasoning, you thought as to why the, let's presume what you're saying is true and that red states have.
I've got NBCNews.com says, to an extent that mystifies safety experts and other observers, federal statistics show that people in red states are more likely to die in road crashes. The least likely states, those with the fewest car crashes, car crash deaths per 100,000, are overwhelmingly blue. Now, they don't claim why, they just claim.
Well, Sarah claimed that the reason why was because they had fewer laws, and I don't know if that's a true statement, but even if it is true, there are actually experiments where I believe Denmark is one of the places where this has been done, where they actually got rid of all of the road signs. They got rid of all the traffic control devices, basically, and they just sort of let it ride and let people go out there and take their chances. And it turned out that actually made people drive safer. So having fewer laws around actually seems to make people drive safer.
Well, I mean, that's Denmark. You know, it's a really super tiny country, but it seems like the blue states have more seatbelt laws, for example, the helmet laws. They enforce speeding laws, and I don't know what they do, but the blue states have a more of a tendency of doing that. But like I said, New Mexico is a platypus. We're not a mammal. It's like we lay an egg and have a duck bill, but we're not a duck. We're not a red state. We're a blue state, but we act like a red state. You know, platypus. It's a mammal.
Yeah, I know what a platypus is. I don't get the analogy.
Yeah, well,
she's claiming.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, New Mexico is like number 10 or 11 here on this list of deadliest states as far as car crashes go, according to these numbers. It's states.
Yeah, it looks like number 11 on a list I'm looking at.
And it is the first blue one. Now, I'm going to contend that New Mexico is probably purple, but compared to Wyoming, Mississippi, and Arkansas, it's certainly blue. And then Florida comes in second, I would say, and they call that blue. Would you call Florida a blue state with a Republican governor? I wouldn't.
Oh, that I don't understand Florida at all. I was told that it's pretty
I don't understand any
What
idea.
About New Hampshire? Do you think New Hampshire is a red state or a blue state?
Well, you guys are in the Northeast, right? You guys are all blue up See? That way, close to Boston.
Some people would say New Hampshire's a red state.
It's a swing state.
Oh.
Some people would say New Hampshire is a purple state. New Hampshire, by the way, doesn't even have an adult seatbelt law. I'd like to point out New Hampshire is
most local states don't have that. The helmet law, I should say. I'm sorry.
I was talking about seatbelt law. Yeah. New Hampshire, I believe, is the only state of all the 50 states that has no adult seatbelt law. Am
the
I correct about that?
The safest state, as I understand it, is Massachusetts, and they have the lowest compliance with seatbelt laws in the nation.
They are about the same as New Hampshire.
I don't think it's lower than New Hampshire, the compliance level.
Like by a percentage.
Yeah, it's by a point. So I don't think that the correlation, you've come up with a claim here, and I don't think your claim necessarily bears out from what my understanding of the world is that more laws somehow make people safer. If so, North Korea is a damn safe place, right?
I've never been there. How do I know?
That's a fair answer. Thanks for the call, Sarah. Appreciate it.
No, there's not a lot of car crashes, I'll bet you.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it was Germany that was one of the countries that did away with the all the signs and the...
Was it Germany?
Yeah, okay. And the idea behind it is that, you know, if you're looking around for signs, you know, you're not paying attention to the road. And so things like the roundabouts supposedly are much, you know, safer than like stop signs because the people aren't worried about like, I got to obey these signs. They're like, no, I got to drive safely. That's what their focus is on.
Or if you're driving around on like, let's say a cliff with the barriers to the right side of you and, you know, versus a cliff with no barriers, you're probably going to drive a lot more carefully on the cliff that has
I'd be careful
no
around those corners because everybody's going to want to hug the cliff side.
All right, 855-450-FREE. You can share your thoughts on whatever's on your mind on Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of governments around the world killing innocent people? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin is money that cannot be inflated or controlled by any state. By continuing to use their money, you're perpetuating the killing. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available to you now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. It's Bitcoin.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Join us on the air. Toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You know, if you're tired of governments murdering people around the world, the answer is not to lower yourself to their level and commit murder. That's what, first of all, it doesn't look like this guy, this psychopath, this alleged shooter in Manchester was in any way a libertarian. He actually is calling for a government-run bank. I don't know if you happen to still have that pulled up, James, but we should probably share that quote here in a moment. But if you're tired of the government's murdering people, don't take matters into your own hands with violence. Use Bitcoin. That's the alternative. Stop using their money. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you're helping the state. So stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, and spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. We've been sharing with you about this nut job who apparently, allegedly, had shot two police officers in Manchester early this morning. He's got a multi-hundred page, I don't know, manifesto is the right word, rambling screed about how he believes he has a chip, some sort of bionic chip implanted into his brain.
A brain-computer interface.
That's what it was. The BCI, the brain-computer interface.
It's a silk one, too, so I guess it's...
Is that expensive?
Well,
it doesn't show up on an MRI.
Yeah, so it has to be silk so it doesn't interact with your organic components in your body.
I see.
And it sounds expensive. Expensive. Really expensive.
Well, the government will spare no expense.
To track this moron.
Well, maybe not track him. Maybe he believes he's being controlled by this. I don't know if it's a tracking chip. It says brain-computer interface, so that suggests that he might believe that they're actually giving him commands.
Based on, my... preliminary research here, I think he thinks that maybe it's some private entity that's controlling him and he needs the government to protect him.
Could very well be, because the manifesto, or whatever you want to call it, witness statement.
He sends it out to government workers.
Yeah, he's sending it to government police departments, other government investigative agencies, and he wants them to know what has happened to him.
Here's that quote about the bank. He says, "I wish that I had the option to just walk down the street and go to a bank that is owned and run by the United States."
Now, to be clear, this quote is almost 5 years old, so of course people can change their views over time, but presuming, and I believe I saw something about this U.S. bank idea in his manifesto as well. But anyway, go ahead.
He says, "I'd rather see my money in the hands of my government than in the hands of some random privately owned corporation." Like, I guess I'd rather have the opposite. Like, I'd rather see my money in the hands of corporations and
it's not random. You picked them, right?
That's true, yep.
I'd rather see the money in my hands rather than some government or some bank. And, of course, that's what Bitcoin allows us to do. It allows us to become our own bank and be responsible for our own savings. Bitcoin, of course, is an amazing thing.
Like, I'd probably agree with him. Like, I think the banking system is screwed up, but it's because of the government. Like, you and I can't go open a bank.
Well, he believes the government's going to solve the problem, which shows this guy is not a libertarian, or at the very least, he wasn't back in 2011 when he wrote this. And I don't think his writing has become more coherent over time. I think it's actually easier to read what he's written if you're going back in time. On his Facebook page.
Because he's probably getting crazier.
That's what it seems like. Let's go to the phones and to the fun, actually to Skype, where TJ, who's normally in the studio with us, he's on a Mother's Day extended vacation out there at the old family homestead. Hey, TJ, welcome back to Free Talk Live.
How's it going, Ian? I just wanted to say, anytime I seem to leave, all the interesting stuff happens. Like, it's always a snow news day in New Hampshire, and I come, and I was like, goodness gracious, I leave when all the excitement happens.
Well, don't worry. We'll promise you at some point something exciting will happen while you're here. Oh, wait. We got raided by the FBI while you were here, so you must have forgotten that part.
Oh, yeah. That was always a real hoot. So I wanted to tell you, as a mathematician, I love correlation and causation, and it's wonderful to play around with it. I don't know if you knew this, but this is an absolute fact. Did you know that children that get driven to school in a Lexus or a Mercedes They do better in school. They get higher SAT scores. They're much more likely to go to Harvard or Yale. They're much more likely to not be arrested for anything. And so a politician actually proposed, when I told him this, he said, why don't we just tax everybody and we'll give the money to poor people so they can buy Lexuses and Mercedes so they can drive their kids. I mean, it is factually true. I'm not making that up.
No, it's true. Sure.
Yes, if your parents drive a Lexus or Mercedes and they drive you to school in a Lexus or Mercedes, you're much more likely to do better on your SAT than if you get driven in a Chevy Caprice or a junker car.
Yep. But and of course, if you drove everybody to school in a Lexus or Mercedes, suddenly you would find that these numbers no longer correlate. Turns out it doesn't make a difference at all.
Well, yes, it's just a correlation. It's not a causative thing. It's a correlative thing. And so, as we like to say in mathematics, correlation doesn't imply causation. And so going back to the previous caller with the red state, blue state phenomenon, it might actually be true that blue states like New York – now, remember, New York State, most of the population is actually in New York City. And when you think about big blue states, the population is going to be in cities – where the drivers are going to be driving, say, 20, 30 miles an hour. Like in downtown Manhattan, you can't be doing 70 miles an hour in downtown Manhattan.
Interesting.
Right. So
you practically have to have a wood chipper on the front of your car to kill somebody in Manhattan, right?
Right. So, you know, it is possible, like states like Idaho, Arizona, Texas, that are red, you know, a lot of people are going to be zipping around at 70 miles an hour on the interstate. And that probably, of course, that is a lot more fatal. So, I mean, it might actually be true. But the thing is, I don't know if you actually took Democrats and Republicans and you put them on the same type of roads, I think you'd see that correlation disappear very fast.
I don't know. So when you look at blue states, think about some blue states here for a minute. New Jersey. It's highly concentrated up in the northeastern part of the state. But after that, the places, it's rural. When you look at New York State, rural. When you look at Illinois, the place is rural.
Though, the population density matters where it does.
Well, it's per 100,000. So why, is it that cities are so safe as far as the traffic fatalities go? Mm-hmm. Are cities so safe that it just skews these numbers entirely?
That's what I think TJ was suggesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know, it's really hard to tease out correlation and causation.
It is really hard.
The only way you would know is you'd have to have a blue city and a red city. And everybody would have to drive the same type of car. You'd have to have the same, for example, subway accidents per capita in New York State are a lot higher than, say, subway accidents in Montana. Montana doesn't have any subways. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you can play around with the numbers and fiddle with them and usually get all kinds of interesting conclusions. But the bigger question is, even if it were true, so what? I mean, the thing is, if you have laws, I mean, we can do all kinds of things to make ourselves safer, but a lot of us would probably balk at them we don't want to give up all our liberties. I mean, sure, we can be absolutely safe if you give up all your liberties, but I don't think many of us would want to do that.
Yeah. It's safer in a padded cell.
It is actually, if everybody just put like a TV camera and walked around with a tracker on every day and, everybody had no sharp knives, like if we just banned all sharp instruments, it'd be very hard. You can make it really hard to kill people or kill yourself.
So what do you think about this guy who's claiming he has a chip implanted in his brain and has now allegedly shot at police in Manchester, just to change things up here?
I took on the first page of his manifesto, you can see he has paranoid schizophrenia. I mean, all the signs, like the ideas of thought projection, reference, persecutory delusions, being controlled by an outside entity, people, the light bulb, light bulbs are talking to him, telling him to do stuff, that kind of stuff. That is just classic paranoid schizophrenia. So, most people with schizophrenia are not dangerous. A lot of people think mentally ill and they think dangerous. What it really is they just don't have the same sense of reality that normal people do. And, you know, probably, you know, what's interesting? Well, I don't know. That's about all I have to say for this segment. So I'll let you get on to all the fun, and I'll be back in about a week.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, TJ the Spy, for the call tonight. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can join us there and sound good, just like TJ did. The Skype username is LRN.FM. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We got time for you if you want to join us here. Bring up whatever's on your mind. You don't have to talk about the pretty crazy shooter, alleged shooter, from Manchester, New Hampshire. He's named Ian McPherson, apparently. He's been charged with capital murder, or attempted capital murder, I believe, because he didn't actually end up killing the police officers that he shot, allegedly, early this morning in the streets of West Manchester. And he has, on his Facebook page, links to a Scribd account with multiple 700-page manifestos that appear to be similar content. Maybe they're just different revisions. I'm not sure which one is the newest versus which one is the oldest. It's not really clear based on just a glance which one is the newest. But anyway, we're going to link to some of that for you on our Facebook and Twitter. And in fact, James is writing up a more lengthy piece for freekeen.com for later this evening. Likely will be published at some point soon. I think you're probably going to be scooping people on that one, James, because the mainstream media hasn't, if they've gotten wind of these posts, they haven't yet written anything about them. So we're going to continue. You can bring up anything you want at 855-450-FREE. If you support Free Talk Live, please become a Free Talk Live amplifier. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. It's $5 a month. That helps us get on more radio stations around the country, bring the ideas of liberty as far and as wide as possible, and you can get perks too, like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, and the AMP-only Facebook group. You'll get all the details and get signed up at amp.freetalklive.com. You can use any major credit card, as well as Visa or MasterCard. Our Bitcoin option is only partially working, so apologize for the frustration there. We're still waiting to hear back from Coinbase on a technicality. But otherwise, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com. We sure do appreciate it. Let's talk to Tim. He's listening in Wyoming via TuneIn. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. Sure, Tim. I appreciate it. Good show tonight. I'm enjoying it. I love hearing from the New Mexico Board of Tourism every night. That's always
Don't go to New Mexico. You're going to get killed by a driver.
Well, she wants people to go on one night, and then the next night she doesn't want people to go.
Right. I mean, I guess you could go out to White Sands and get irradiated or something too, if you really wanted to. But you know, you're more likely in Wyoming to get gored by a, you know, run over by a buffalo or attacked by a bear, eaten by a wolf, gored by.
Here in Southwest New Hampshire, I helped save a guy who had gotten gored by a bison. Yeah, look, there was bison farm. This fellow thought it was a good idea to get into the pen with the bison and a water buffalo, too. The bison got him. The water buffalo did not. And I had to stay with him and apply pressure until we could get an ambulance there.
In all likelihood, the water buffalo would have just ripped him in half.
Yeah, well, the bison was no slouch either, my friend.
No kidding. But no, what I was going to say, I mean, I wanted to call him a couple nights ago. I want to apologize for the sound quality a couple nights ago when I called in because I was using a headset that I thought I had a pretty good microphone and it was awful. Mm. I didn't realize.
You sound fine tonight.
You can always listen to your calls by going to freetalklive.com and downloading the podcast that you called in on.
Well, as far as the apology, I don't even remember it, so don't worry about it. But go ahead.
It sounded like I was talking through a straw or something, and it just was horrible.
You know, it is bad. It's amazing how many of these headsets are just god-awful. We've had a lot of people call with Bluetooth headsets in, and I understand they're supposed to save you from, you know, crashing in cars or whatever, but the sound quality is just terrible. So you're better off just pulling over and then making the phone call and just directly on your headset.
I had a good Bluetooth headset years ago. People thought I was standing right in the room with them.
So, Tim, what were you calling about tonight besides Bluetooth headset reviews?
And buffalo trampling, No, there's a movie that just came out. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's called Armageddon.
No, I've not heard of this.
It's about a grid down situation where the entire United States of America basically is under martial law because of the electrical grid of the United States having been destroyed by terrorism. And it's an independent movie, but it was produced by you guys are aware of the Curves fitness chain, which is women only basically. Yeah. But the founder of that was Gary Haven, and he was a producer of the movie. He's a billionaire. I mean, he spent a lot of money on making this movie, and from what everyone says who's seen it, it's very good. It's in a limited number of venues right now, a limited number of screens. But if people could log on to, it was advertised heavily on Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a friend of Gary Heaven's, or Haven, excuse me, and Mike Norris too, Chuck Norris's son. So I just wanted to bring that up because I don't think people are very much aware of what can happen with, I mean, you guys sit there with computers, electricity.
Oh, yeah. We take it for granted until it's gone. And right. Thanks for the call, Tim. I appreciate it. You know, up here in New Hampshire, I think more people are pretty aware of the dangers of loss of power, because if you lose power during the wintertime, up here, and a lot of times large swaths of the state will lose power here, you could freeze to death. And sometimes people do. So that
I've got a generator.
Well, good for you.
Don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't.
It's a good idea to have one.
It is. But, you know, your average person in an apartment building may not, and maybe the apartment building doesn't. Anyway,
I think that people appear more likely to take a generator seriously because...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they know.
You could die.
Right. They know about that here.
You probably won't die.
People will die also in hotter states, too. Elderly folks who are not getting the proper hydration during a power outage when their air conditioning is not working.
Well, if you want to watch like something pretty scary, there's all kinds of fascinating documentaries about like blackouts that have happened. Like there's one in New York where like 50 million people lost power.
Wow.
So you're talking like that's pretty scary to me. I knew a guy, I had a friend in Georgia. He lived in New Orleans during Katrina, and he would tell me stories about like, you know, sleeping on the couch with a shotgun, and he had to park his car next to the house because someone like tried to siphon the gas, so he had to like move his car.
Oh,
so
geez.
You know, like people were trying to rob him.
Sounds like Venezuela, where according to theatlantic.com, it's falling apart, and they'll give you some scenes from daily life in the failing state. But first, Tom is on the line. Tom the Bigot, calling from New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live.
Actually, I'm not a bigot, though. I hate cops, I hate smokers, and I don't like queers, but I judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. But anyway...
just based on what you just said, that you hate queers, that has nothing to do with the content of anyone's character. You are hating someone based on their sexual orientation, sir. You haven't even met most of the queers you hate.
Don't take the bait, Tom. Just go ahead and talk about what you're talking about, because if he calls you Tom the Bigot and you talk about something that's not bigoted, then he just looks like a fool.
Well, he's earned that title. I gave it to him the last time he called in, because we haven't had Scott the Bigot call for years on the show. So I think that it's available at this point. We can rename
it. In any case, I didn't say that I hate queers. I said I don't like queers. But in any case,
okay, whatever.
It's about on Saturday, this past Saturday, my wife and I were at DCA, which is Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, which is actually in Arlington, Virginia. And while we were there, we had plenty of time ahead of our flight, and they made an announcement that this flight with 168 veterans from Wisconsin was about to arrive at a nearby gate. And anybody who would like to, you know, greet them and thank them for serving. These were veterans from Second World War, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, who were just going to go see the sights of Washington, D.C. just for a day. They're only in town for a day, and then they're going to be going back. And they actually had a band there from Northern Virginia to be right there at the gate in the ticket area. And a lot of people, you know, they had time to go up there and clap and thank them for serving and all of that stuff. But if you do stuff like that, you're only encouraging more people to go and sign up for, like, let's face it, the war in Iraq was started just so Vice President Cheney's friends at Halliburton could make money off the oil.
Right. You can't call the people that vote for the war bad folks and say that they're not worthy of support and they're a bunch of criminals in Washington, D.C., and then support the people that go and fight the war. It just doesn't make sense. That's not a good method for stopping the wars.
Who's to say the people who are applauding the troops were against the war?
Well, what they'll tell you so often is you can be against the war, but you must support the troops. And I don't know what it means.
No, I get what you're saying. I just don't know if any of those people were there.
I think the federal government should go ahead and pay for whatever for the wars that it fights, including up to and including all the benefits to the vets. But that doesn't mean I support the wars.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, I think people should feel sorry for these troops. Many of them were, snookered. They were fooled into joining this organization. A lot of these recruiters are liars, and they just gave false information to dupe young people into joining the military, and then they have to take all these orders from these criminals known as politicians. Hour number three is on the way, 855.
We'd like to invite you to visit FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and we're launching into the third hour of the program. You can join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in studio tonight, you've got Ian here.
James.
And Mark.
And there's some pretty big news, James, that you had in your show prep, and as did I, about the FBI's browser hack. And it's something that has struck close to home here at the Free Talk Live studios because, well, this whole situation resulted in our studios being raided by the FBI. What happened was in 2015, the FBI took over a child pornography website on Tor.
Called the Playpen.
That's what it was called. It was an underground, Tor site. Everything on Tor is sort of a hidden service, as they're called. And they took over this website. They found the server. And for
3 or 4 weeks.
For 2 solid weeks, they operated a child pornography website.
The Federal Bureau of Investigations operated a child pornography website.
Something with like 200,000 users or something like that, or 100,000 to 200,000 users. Lots of people on the site. They installed some kind of malware. They call it a network investigative technique, but it's a hack.
And we don't know what it is.
Right. And they installed this malware, and that infected over a thousand computers, reporting back IP address information.
But tens of thousands of people had gone to this area where they had this little hack.
Ostensibly.
Yeah, and it seems very strange that they would only put it in sort of one area, but whatever. I don't know. Seems awfully odd.
Well, they gathered a lot of information.
They just went after sort of the preteen girl section, as though the guys that are in the people going to the preteen boy section, they're okay.
Well, we don't know for sure. That's what we've heard, but maybe they went after both of them.
Well, all we can do is go by news stories, because the Federal Bureau of Investigation certainly isn't being very forthcoming about operating a child porn website.
Yeah, I love their, they release statements, like these sealed statements, and it's like just pages and pages of black. Right. Everything is redacted. And it's like one person posted the FBI's reason for keeping all this a secret is very compelling. And it's just like pages and pages of black. So they won't tell us anything.
And actually what has happened most recently in this case, again, they found a bunch of IP addresses. They've conducted a lot of investigations and have made over 130 arrests because of this hack that we still don't really know exactly what it is. Well, one of the people who was charged after these arrests with ostensible possession of child pornography has, in his case, challenged the fact that the FBI has been not revealing in their discovery what method they used to actually gather the information that broke the anonymity of the people who thought they were anonymous over the Tor browser. Because the Tor experience is supposed to be an anonymized internet experience, and yet they were able, the FBI were able to de-anonymize people.
And here's the disturbing thing, I think. If the government is going to bring evidence against you, I think you should know, like, how they collected that evidence.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's chain of custody.
Like, it's outrageous that they would be allowed to use evidence and then not tell you how they collected it. That'd be like, that's so outrageous, it's unbelievable.
And they've brought charges against, what, hundreds of people at this point. They haven't done that with Free Talk Live. At this point, all they've done is come in, take some computers. We've got no information as to what happened, whether we, nothing. There's no accusation. We have no clue.
And the rulings here by judges in this case, or these various cases, because there have been a bunch of them so far, have been mixed. There have been a couple of judges that have thrown out the initial warrant that authorized the placing of the hacking tool onto the server, which then resulted in all the data coming in. That has been thrown out by two different judges at, I believe, the district court level in the at the federal courts. But on very recently, just this last week, a judge has reversed his own decision on one of these questions. Let me give you
crazy
more details
town.
Here.
I mean, a judge reversing a decision, you never hear that.
He reversed his decision on what originally was his order to the FBI to reveal the full malware code that it used to identify visitors of the dark web child pornography site, including the exploit that circumvented the protections of the Tor browser. The government fought back against again, this judge made this decision back in February. He said, you guys have to reveal this as part of discovery. Well, the government fought back largely in sealed motions and tried to convince the judge to reconsider. It has now succeeded. The government's motion has been granted, and the FBI does not have to provide the exploit code to the defense as previously ordered. That means the defense in the case will probably be unable to examine how the evidence against their client was collected in the first place. But it would seem to me that they would be able to conduct an interlocutory appeal. Right? Is it interlocutory the right word for that?
I'm not familiar with the term. I'm sorry.
I think it is. It's where...
You're more of a legal expert than I am.
I'm no expert, but I am pretty sure that that is the kind of appeal where, yeah, okay, there's this criminal case going on, right? So this case is happening, and then they put in this motion to reveal this part of discovery. How did this hacking tool actually work? The judge has now reversed his order on that and is denying that motion, but you can appeal the denial of that motion. And if you're appealing something like that in the middle of a case, which is what they're doing, then that's called, I believe it's an interlocutory appeal, where they basically press pause on the criminal case and then go through the appeals process and getting that question answered of, okay, well, this lower court judge says you don't have to reveal the hacking tool, but what would an appeals court say about that same question? This doesn't have to end here, and if he's got a decent attorney, and I don't know if he does, but if he's got a decent attorney, they should be able to file for the interlocutory appeal, pause the case, and then get this question decided before moving on. Because obviously whether or not this data comes out could be an important kind of crux of this case.
Well, another,
I want to know.
Yeah, another thing is, you know, as, you know, I guess the public at large, we need to know, like, how did they do this? You know, is Tor still safe because journalists use Tor?
Right.
Dissidents in, like, Iran use Tor. I mean, there are very legitimate uses of Tor, and it's a very dangerous thing if Tor is broken. So either there's something wrong with Tor itself,
or the browser.
There's some exploit that these people are using.
Yeah, well, this is a really wise move on the part of the FBI because they broke the Constitution on a group of people that everyone hates. These people
child
are,
porn people. Yeah.
Well, child porn. I mean, pedophiles, right? I mean, what else? Let's just use the terminology that people are going to use for folks like this. Nobody likes a pedophile. Oh, well, who cares if their constitutional rights have been compromised? But the fact of the matter is if they can compromise the constitutional rights of the worst, most vile, disgusting pedophile out there, then they can compromise the constitutional rights of anybody. And if they can compromise the constitutional rights of anybody, why are we here? What's this America experiment all about? Mm. I mean, what did soldiers die for the last 200 and something years? The power of the state? Well, that actually is the answer to the question. But they don't think that's why they died.
That's right. Now, it's not totally clear why Judge Robert J. Bryan changed his mind. On Thursday, the government and Bryan had a private meeting where the government presented its reasons.
A gun in his face.
They presented its reasons for non-disclosure of the Tor browser exploit. Court filings have indicated the exploit itself may not be classified, but the reasons for non-disclosure are. Originally, Judge Bryan had ordered the malware disclosure because, although the case involved highly technical elements, the issue boiled down to a simple constitutional point. He had said during a hearing in February, quote, "You say you caught me by the use of computer hacking, so how do you do it? How do you do it? A fair question," said the judge during his hearing in February. Despite backtracking somewhat, Bryan still thinks the defense has a reason to see the code. According to audio of the public section of Thursday's hearing provided by an activist, Phil Moak. Of course, whether the FBI decides to then provide it is another matter.
You know, this is, you know, I'll give a real quick analogy what this is like. This would be like, the police go, "Oh, we have pictures of you doing this crime," and then maybe it's like pictures of you like breaking into a bank vault, mm-hmm. and then they like refuse to state how they got the pictures.
Yeah, where'd, like, the camera? Where, yeah, was the camera?
No, they need to be like, "I, Agent Joe Smith, placed the camera on June 1st, you know, and I swear that I placed it, and it took pictures, and we downloaded the pictures from the device." You need to know exactly how that evidence was collected so you can challenge it in the event that it was collected illegally or... Yeah. If it's not true.
MAC addresses can be spoofed and pictures can be photoshopped.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. You can also bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. Take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. Your thoughts on the FBI hacking people's computers. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you're invited here to join us toll-free at 855-450-FREE. Whether it's a crazy man allegedly shooting police in Manchester and leaving a 700-page manifesto. He's still alive, by the way. They took him alive, amazingly. Normally, the police don't show that much restraint when one of their own is shot. But then again, he didn't kill the cops that he shot, so maybe that helped him stay alive. You can talk about that. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. The FBI running a child pornography website and refusing to give up their hacking tool that they've installed on over 1,000 computers. Let's go to your calls and thoughts, though. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Daryl is in Austin, Texas. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Daryl.
Yeah, I don't know if you probably heard in the news that Republican members of the Texas legislature are meeting in like the state convention talking about possible vote for secession from the union.
Yeah, we actually had a guy call earlier who I believe was at the meeting, and he seemed very, very intimately familiar with the sort of the parliamentary boring process that goes on at these god-awful conventions that people subject themselves to. And it looked like it was a close vote, but ultimately the vote to at least have some sort of statement in their platform about some kind of secession parameters as far as, well, if the federal government does a bunch of naughty things, then we will support secession for Texas, basically, was kind of the gist of the proposal. And it did not go forward. It narrowly lost, apparently, by a relatively close vote. So that's the latest from Texas. How do you feel about secession, Daryl?
I think overall, I think it's going to happen eventually, only right. because the federal government keeps getting worse. And I read an article, and I'm sorry if I can't remember where I read it, but the guy's talking about, well, you know, if Texas succeeds, it may be able to get away with it just because lately a lot of states have been doing things that like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago the federal government wouldn't have tolerated.
What is the federal government going to do about Fort Hood?
That's a military fort down there, right?
Yeah, and there's more than one military base in Texas, and they are big.
Yeah. Well, Fort Hood would be, yeah, it would, honestly, if they closed Fort Hood, like, immediately instead of, like, a slow withdrawal, it would destroy Killeen. Killeen would become a ghost town. Because Fort Hood is the largest army base, I think, in the world, at least.
Wow.
If not the world, at least for the United States. And that land is actually leased from, is actually privately owned, but the government leases most of it, from what I understand.
Well, this is an interesting question. You know, what happens to these military bases? Because it's not just Texas. They've got military bases in a lot of states. I don't know if it's all 50 of them, but I suspect probably.
Not all 50.
No?
Which really, because I used to live in Iowa. And Iowa, I mean, they have National Guard facilities, mm-hmm. but they don't have an actually active duty base there, which is kind of weird. But San Antonio's got like 3 or 4 bases, and also the boot camp for the U.S. Air Force is in San Antonio. And that would be an interesting thing to happen. And plus, like, if the reason why I say Texas might be able to get away with it, because a lot of things that other states go in, like, you know, decriminalizing marijuana, which the government doesn't want doing, you know, cities that are, say, hey, we're sanctuary cities for illegal aliens. You know, 50 years ago, that wouldn't have been tolerated. You know, in the 70s, that wouldn't have been tolerated.
Sure.
But now it's just like, well, okay, we'll let you get away with it. And that's why he thinks that, you know, given enough time, that pretty much the federal government's going to quit trying to force half its laws.
Well, they're certainly, you know, destroying their credibility with people. A lot of people are not happy with Congress and haven't been for a long time. It's just like, it's as though the American people are dragging along this ball and chain of the federal government. It's like they feel they're obligated to it. They feel like they owe the debt. They feel like they're part of this thing, even though all it does is tell them what to do and how to live.
They were forced all through their elementary school years to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Of course they feel forced. They went to government schools and they were forced to say government pledges to the point that they, you know, that they thank everybody for it. And it's, you know, it's completely wrong. It is immoral to have a bunch of kids take a loyalty oath who are not old enough to even know what it means.
Oh, that's true. You know, my kids, you know, I mean, they go to public school, and I know they know the Pledge of Allegiance.
And mine wouldn't know what you're talking about if you started saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I said my kids.
I hear you.
You know, I know what it means. You know, back then I didn't know when I learned it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, my kids also, like, they listen to Free Talk Live when I listen to it. If I'm in the car, I'm listening to, you know, other stuff. So my kids aren't hearing just the government propaganda. They're hearing, hey, they're hearing some Free Talk Live. They're hearing some Christopher Cantwell. They're hearing people who have alternate views. Yes. You know, sometimes I have to turn Cantwell off because he's a little bit, I think his use of colorful metaphors might get them in trouble at school. So.
That's a possibility. Daryl, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And keep us in the loop. You hear more about Texas secession. I'm very excited about it. I hope that, you know, I would love to see New Hampshire be first.
Looks like there's 2 bases in New Hampshire.
Yeah, one over in the Portsmouth area, right?
Pease, and then there's a New Boston Air Force Station. It dates back to 1942.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you deal with that? Because at some point, some state is going to secede. At some point, it has to happen, unless the federal government crashes and burns first. So it's going to be one of those things. The federal government either implodes and just becomes nothing.
I think they're going to implode financially sooner than later.
All right. Well, I hope you're right, too. Daryl, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. In either case, the question is, what happens to the military?
The debt just keeps on going up, up, up. And the military, from what I can tell, is sort of the only legitimate thing the federal government does by their sort of their own standards. They take money, and then they distribute it to states for things like Medicare, Medicaid, and that sort of thing. But, well, I mean, Social Security, they administer Social Security. So, I mean, they're in an insurance organization and a protection agency. They're a poorly run insurance agency and a poorly run protection mm-hmm. agency is basically what they are.
But they're not going to want that to go away. And the people who support the state are – a lot of them support the military across the board. So from the left to the right, they will all claim to support the troops. And so they're one of the last organizations that's going to be defunded in the event of the federal government being unable to pay its bills. It may get to that point. I mean, we did hear about Venezuela, where certain military members have been caught stealing goats because they don't have any food left at the military base that they were staying at. So, you know, if the federal government gets to that point, you will see a lot of military members just decide, okay, well, I'm not getting paid for this job anymore, and I don't love the country that much. So I'm just going to go ahead and take a walk. And so at some point it could get to that point, but it seems like the federal government will be last to cut the military as opposed to many of its other branches. But it'd be interesting to see how it all shakes out, and I hope that Texas is successful, or Vermont, or New Hampshire. These are some of the places with active secession movements, and it seems like Texas is really the most active. If you remember back in 2012, when Barack Obama was elected, there was those petitions, those online secession petitions.
Yeah, sure.
The one from Texas, which got like what was it, 700,000, a million signatures or something like that? Now, it was
got
people,
a bunch of them.
It wasn't just people in Texas who could sign it. It's an internet petition, so anybody with an IP address anywhere could sign the petition. But it was still an indicator that there's a large amount of interest in the idea of secession. Now, of course, if Donald Trump wins in this year, is that going to result in a larger push for Texas secession, or will they simmer down? Will they only get upset because it's a red state?
Sure.
Will they only get upset if it's Hillary Clinton who wins? Either way, I think we'll see more states talking about secession or more people within the states talking about it. And that's what we got to do. That's step one, is to talk about it and help make it real. It's Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, dial toll-free, join the show, bring up what you want. 855-450-FREE is the number. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, Ian here.
James.
And Mark.
The root cause of most of society's ills is neither malice nor negligence, but a mere superstition, an unquestioned assumption which has been accepted on faith by nearly everyone of all ages, races, religions, education, and income levels, maybe even you. If people were to recognize that one belief for what it is, an utterly irrational, self-contradictory, and horribly destructive myth, most of the violence, oppression, and injustice of the world would cease. But that will happen only when people dare to honestly and objectively re-examine their belief systems. The Most Dangerous Superstition by Larkin Rose exposes the myth for what it is, showing how nearly everyone, as a result of one particular unquestioned assumption, is directly contributing to violence and oppression without even realizing it. If you imagine yourself to be a compassionate, peace-loving, civilized human being, you must read this book. It's called The Most Dangerous Superstition, and you can buy it on Amazon and LarkinRose.com. Again, The Most Dangerous Superstition. I've read it. And I would recommend this book. It's excellent. It's short. It's easy to read. And it makes a really solid pro-freedom point that I don't think a lot of people will consider without it. So check it out. The Most Dangerous Superstition, as we go to Zachary, listening in Ithaca, New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Zachary.
Hello, Ian. I just got fired from Cornell this morning by a phone call.
I sort of knew that was going to help coming, Zachary.
So this
you
is
want to elaborate, or should I?
Well, let me see if I can recap briefly, because it helps me, because that way I know if I've understood what you've told me previously. So previously, you worked for Cornell in one of their kitchens or food service areas. Cornell's a university in Ithaca. Anyway, you were working for them, and there was an article in the newspaper that interviewed you, and you gave some opinions about how awful it was to work around some of these people who are also in this union that you're forced to be a part of. You didn't have the most glowing comments about the union, or in that case, you know, Cornell's use of unions, and they ended up suspending you, and now you said you're fired. Is that right?
That's pretty correct. Really what the situation was that when I met with HR, I periscoped it and then put it on YouTube. You guys tweeted it out for me, or put it on your Facebook, which I appreciate. Mm. So today when they called me at 11 in the morning and said, you're terminated, Schwarzenegger style, I said, why? And the response was, because of the conversation we had when we confronted you, which you can see online, it's Cornell HR talking to you from Cornell HR. And then the following, I called into you right after that, and I posted that, and I called in a couple days afterward because there was this scare on campus about online threats. I thought they might have been trying to pigeonhole me. So basically, it was for exercising my First Amendment rights to freedom of speech that I was fired. May I?
Yeah.
There was an article that just came out today. There was a Cornell senior or junior who was basically railroaded under rape charges at Cornell, and he's filed a lawsuit saying that essentially the university's system for dealing with alleged sexual assault is illegal and biased. And Cornell hates bad press. So I kind of refuse to roll over and just, you know, I'm going to get another job on Monday morning, and I'm going to appeal the decision with the union. But Cornell's an evil organization that exploits this town and its workers.
Why would you want to go back to work for them?
Because it's the only job in town that actually pays a decent wage and has benefits.
I doubt it. You could probably go work at the prison or something.
There's no prison in town. There's a salt mine. I have a car. So essentially, there's really no actual opportunity to work in Ithaca.
But why would you want to go back to work somewhere that you don't like? I mean, you don't like the management. You don't like the atmosphere. You don't like the union. Sure,
he doesn't like being poor either.
Sure, you have a right to... Hold on. Now, sure, you have a right to appeal the decision. That's one of those union perks. But you hate the job. I mean, there's plenty of jobs in the world. You don't have to stay in Cornell, right? Or is there a reason why there's like something holding you?
The reason why is that I will not leave my people behind.
What does that mean?
I have become close friends with all the people I work with. We're all oppressed. We're all, having to deal with a really intolerable kind of backward system. And the thing is, I don't have any kids. I don't have a wife. I don't have the obligations a lot of people I work with have. So I'm free to speak out. I have a lot of silent supporters, you know, the great silent majority. But the fact is, a lot of people are not willing to go up against the administration.
Of course.
Because they'll get fired. Simply out of fear. And I'm not afraid. I have skills. I can go get another job basically anywhere because I'm not one of these union leeches that just makes everyone's lives insufferable. The fact of the matter is the Cornell University itself runs this whole town like that guy from the guy from Ghost.
Patrick Swayze?
Yes.
Yeah,
runs
Patrick
the town
Swayze
like Patrick Swayze.
He's a doorman. He's the
I don't remember the movie. I haven't seen Ghost since the
90s.
It's like Roadhouse. Cornell is the evil car dealership guy.
So let me see if I'm following you here. You're going to go and try to get a job back at a place you hate to work because you feel like you need to change the system from the inside?
Well, I mean, I actually don't dislike my job. I like the students. I like the people I work with. It's the evil institution within that I have objection to. I don't like seeing people getting exploited. I don't like seeing bad food getting served. I don't like.
Right. I can't blame you, man. It sounds like you're passionate. It sounds like this is something that's really important to you, that despite the frustrations of working in this union for this bureaucracy, basically, which is Cornell, you want to try to sort of change the system from the inside. And, you know, to some extent, I get that. And that's what a lot of us are trying to do, is change this absurd system. You're just doing it on a more local level and within this college. And many of us are pushing for maybe at a state level similar changes to make things better. You don't like seeing people being oppressed. I can definitely relate to that.
Good luck, though.
Yeah, you know? I do wish you the best, Zach. And
Ithaca is a good place. It's my home. But Cornell is the tick that's bigger than the dog, and it's sucking the life out of this community.
All right.
And someone has to stand up to them.
Good luck, dude. Good luck. All right, toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You know, hey, it's important to him. I say right on. Everybody has to have a passion in life. Obviously, Cornell's a little different because, while yes, it is an organization that is based in the state, you know, they get funding, I'm sure, from the state, as most colleges do. Ultimately, most people are choosing to do business with Cornell. They are choosing to send their kids there, unlike, let's say, the government school system where everyone is forced to pay for the education of someone else.
Well, you're forced to pay for people's education at Cornell. We just don't know how much.
Yeah, it's probably not to the same extent.
If they're getting Pell Grants, then you're doing it.
Sure, but it's probably not to the same extent as far as, you know, the government's actually spending buku bucks on the government schools versus the colleges.
The nice thing about colleges is it tends to be most of their money comes from
their customers.
From at the very least, their customers signing up, right? So like it's like a school voucher system as opposed to anything else. I don't think that even state universities get enough money to operate if students aren't going there. Students want to go
right
there, so. You know, That's that. It says I think that mostly, you know, they could go to other universities and take their student dollars with them, whether they're, you know, their government dollars or not. They're still going with the student if the student picks a different university.
So what is it that you are passionate about? You know, if you've got that same level of passion, I want to know what you're interested in, you know, making a change in the world for. You can share your thoughts with us here tonight at 855-450-FREE. Right now in Venezuela, actually, this story just a day or so old out of Al Jazeera, opposition parties staging marches in an effort to step up the campaign to topple President Nicolas Maduro via a recall referendum. We reported to you, I think it was earlier this week, that one of the people who pushed this recall referendum, which got something like 1.8 million signatures, that's a lot of signatures, he was assassinated. Not too long ago, like within the last week or so. And now many of the supporters of this recall effort are getting into the streets and things are getting a little bit heated in Venezuela. Plus, more on the way. You can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain, but enough time for you if you want to share your thoughts with us here. The toll-free number, 855-450-3733. This case continues to develop out of Manchester, New Hampshire, where a man shot, allegedly, two police officers early this morning. The officers are still alive. But, you know, I think it is important to point something out about this. And number one, this guy is not a libertarian. Just to make sure we're crystal clear, this guy wants a U.S.-run bank. He wants a government-run bank because he feels more comfortable with the government holding his money.
Yeah, he also refers, he's like, in one of his Facebook posts, he's really insulted that someone is insulting his heritage. And he's like, this is my homeland. You know, he's real clear on, you know, he sounds to me like maybe like a misguided patriot kind of guy, like
hard to say.
I'm a doing this for America. Like, is kind of the gist I'm getting here, because he writes a witness statement to government workers where he's like, I gotta warn you guys that. I mean, basically, it's hard to follow, but basically, it sounds like he's saying that the Axis powers never really went away, and they're working with Osama bin Laden.
Hail Hydra.
He does talk about the Axis in there. I've seen that a lot. And you're doing a kind of
Hydra.
You're trying to dissect it as much as you can, James. You're putting together a post for freekeen.com. So stay tuned.
My favorite is the part where he believes that the hackers have tricked him into believing, the hackers in his brain have tricked him into believing that Dave Chappelle's leg shaking is, I don't know, even what is he trying to convince?
Yeah, he says during a performance by Dave Chappelle, Dave Chappelle's leg began spasming like a dog being pet, and he yelled, I've got a microchip in my brain, which resulted in applause, and he, you know, Dave, exited the stage. The author says, I believe this was an animation which computer hackers transmitted ahead of the normal signal that was programmed this evening. So it sounds like he's basically saying that, you know, the people controlling his chip
implanted a vision.
Yes.
That he saw something because they sent a program.
That's right.
To replace what actually happened in the Dave Chappelle comedy skit.
Like, maybe I'll look that up.
I haven't seen that one, but maybe that's what happened.
Let's go to Ray. He's in Missouri. So, yeah, stay tuned to freekeen.com. James is working on that piece over there. Ray, you're in Missouri and you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
I'm a truck driver and.
Jeez, thanks for your service.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, you're welcome. Everybody contributes to our, you know, our nation here.
And yeah, but 99% of the products in the store are moved by truckers.
Yep, you keep us alive, okay, man. I appreciate that.
That may be true. I don't. But, you know, I get to hear, you know, quite a bit of good talk radio around the country. Well, I don't know about if a lot of it. I'm a little bit, and I put 2 years in the military a long time ago, over in Germany, 81, 83. Before, we, you know, I didn't get caught up into any crazy excursions where...
Keeping Germany safe from beer gardens and gals and lederhosen.
Yeah, we were the trouble over there, the actual young GIs running around and causing a little bit of trouble. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's youthhood, I guess. Hey, I don't want to waste the time, and I let you go and talk to other people, but let me get down to the main thing that's been on my mind for a long time, and I've gotten by it already. I've already come to grips with it. if you look, people talk about, you know, the election, this and that, what's going wrong in the country. A lot of them, you know, seemingly important issues, and, you know, on the surface, they seem like they're important. But a guy like me, I guess, I look at the dang 9/11 situation, and in my mind, there's something that's been pulled over our eyes, and now just recently, you know, you hear talk about people wanting to, well, now they want to release that chapter that was blocked out. Yeah, I mean that whole, if you look at, if you go beyond a little bit beyond the dang national media, and go out on the internet maybe and look at some of the videos of all the anomalies that, you know, that were apparent, and all the crazy coincidences that were apparent at that time, you know, and I'll just mention the Tower 7 coming down. You tell people, oh, no, there were three buildings that came down in 9/11. You know, the one came down 5 hours after. It came down in a pile of bricks like the other two, and nobody seemed to know about it. What are you talking about? There were only two planes that got hit. There were only two buildings that got hit by planes. And they believe that those.
No, that's true. Only two buildings did get hit by planes, but a third building did fall on that particular day. You know, we've of course been receiving calls about this for more than a decade here on Free Talk Live, and
but it's back in the news right now.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some new commission to study the old commission.
you know, my viewpoint on this is that I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't believe the government story, but I don't believe all the conspiracy accounts that I've heard either. And I find that focusing on things like this obsessively, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm just sort of making a general statement, focusing on things like this obsessively is unhealthy, because ultimately I already know the government's bad. I already know that the state is an evil institution that justifies its, you know, existence. It uses violence against peaceful people, and that's not okay. So would I put it past people within the apparatus of the state to set something up? It's happened before. You know, there are false flags. The reason the state got into the Vietnam War, for instance, is a good example of that, or the Gulf of Tonkin event. So those things aren't unprecedented in history. But focusing on it, obsessing over it, and trying to persuade people on it is not something I want to spend my time on, because I can show people that the state is evil by showing, you know, actual, undoubtable, verifiable, concrete examples of what the state has done. That it's in the media, it's, you know, confirmed, there's video footage of the police doing X, Y, or Z, abusing people's rights.
There's plenty of examples. Like, the most recent one was that guy getting beat up by the Nashua police.
This was this week.
You know, like, it's clear, like, he gets out of the car, he puts his hands up.
Slowly.
And then they pummel him. Like, they tackle him, and they punch him and punch him and punch him.
One man versus, what, five or six cops right there surrounding him?
I think it was more than that.
Yeah, at the very least. So, Ray, I just, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and I appreciate that point of view, and you're right. To get stuck in quicksand and stay in quicksand when it's useless, you're wasting your life, not enjoying your life, I agree with that 100%. But and I agree with the evils going around the country, people being abused by the police and whatnot. But a lot of good police out there, and there's a lot of nuts out there. But hey, the problem, I don't think the problem stops at the state. There's a cabal ruling the rich people, and the rich people, if you look into some of their stuff, the things that they do at these gatherings and stuff, and it's being brought down now.
The things they do at these gatherings, are you talking about like Bohemian Grove, that kind of thing?
I'm talking about these people don't worship God, a loving God. They worship the opposite of a loving God and domination of other people.
Well, there's definitely some weird esoteric beliefs among some of the elites in society. There's no doubt about that. And that's another rabbit hole that you can go way deep down into. And then you end up like, you know, a crazy man writing ramblings on the internet.
So I think seeing triangles and everything.
I think you got to be careful with that stuff, Ray. And I appreciate your call tonight. Feel free to call us again anytime. We do appreciate it. Because, you know, I don't mind talking about these things. Have you ever seen the Bohemian Grove stuff? It's weird.
I read a book on it. A guy went in with Alex Jones, and he was a reporter from like the London Times or something like that. And he had an entirely different experience than Alex Jones had. He said, you know, there's owls everywhere, but if you go into the Hyatt hotels, there's H's everywhere, too. You know, it's just kind of the logo of the event. Yes, there's a big giant owl in the middle of this place.
They do have a weird cremation of care thing where they, like, burn this.
Well, religions are weird. Like, imagine if you had never heard about Christians, and then you go into church and they say, this is the body of Christ.
Yes. We're eating
the Jewish zombie. Savior. Right. I mean, it's drinking his blood. Like, it's creepy.
If you put it all together, it's some bizarre stuff. But you're indoctrinated in it from, you know, the very earliest of ages, so it's fine.
It's one of those rabbit holes that can go as deep as you want it to, and it's a dangerous thing. There's a blog, The Vigilant Citizen, that I read just as sort of like, you know, fun. It's entertaining to read it. But this guy is convinced that there's the Illuminati out there and that they're showing themselves in all of these, you know, pop culture music videos and in movies. And the dude seems relatively well-informed on a lot of the symbolism that he talks about. But, man, if you start going down that road, it never ends. I mean, it's just one conspiracy linked to the next, to the underground, to the various different skull and bones organizations.
It's a mess. And once you find out the truth, once you've got the truth,
then you can't explain
it.
What
do you have?
You can't.
You know,
it's impossible.
You're just a crazy person running around with your own feces saying, this is the truth.
Right. And then you've
got the truth.
Then you've
got a
700-page manifesto. All right, so we're out of time here tonight, but we'll see you tomorrow online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com.
Hey, podcasters, you may have noticed our new advertiser, LoneUS.com. I met him out in Vegas, and they'd never done radio before, but they were kind enough to be willing to try something new with us. Now, I tried out their service, and it worked fine for me. But I'd appreciate some feedback from you guys, too. Hundreds of you have gone to the site to check it out, but only one signed up in the first week. Can you tell me why? Because I don't know, and I want to make sure that we're presenting the best offer to our listeners. If you want to get a loan, could you try out the service for me? I'm pretty sure it's working fine, and we get a cut off of the loans that go through. The rates correspond with your credit, and as I understand it, you can pay them off anytime you want. That's always important to me because I don't like to pay a lot of interest. So now, here's the ad.
Could you use up to $35,000? Whether it's for home improvement, car repairs, paying off taxes, debt consolidation, emergency funds, or any other reason, LoanUS.com can match you with a lender that can offer up to $35,000. Quick, convenient, and completely online. LoanUS.com works with lenders in all 50 states. You can get up to $35,000 as soon as the next day. Visit LoanUS.com now.
LoanUS.com connects you with lenders but is not a lender or a broker and does not make lending or credit decisions. Loans may not be available for residents of some states. APR, loan term, loan amount, and other loan details may vary. See LoanUS.com for details.
Yeah, if you've got any feedback, just go ahead and send it to me at mark@freetalklive.com.